Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Democrat National Convention. It is me, Rich, on Twitter, at Rich Cioli, and 855-839-1210 is the number for you to weigh in today on everything we are discussing. And what a show we have for you. We've got some great guests coming by, too. No Democrats, though. And let me just actually say at the very, very start of this, we'd like to have Democrats on. We've asked. The way this works at these conventions, just so you're aware, is that they have the Democrat National Committee, just like the RNC, have the Republican National Committee, and they have their media people who bring you surrogates to the campaign, and those surrogates come on, and they talk about a variety of different things. You put in your request for who you want, or they offer you people. We have put in multiple requests. We have gotten ungats, as my people say. Nothing. We have not been offered anyone. They don't want to come on this show. They will not come on this radio show, which is a shame because I'm a very nice guy and I'm polite and respectful. And I wouldn't go there to try to sabotage somebody, but I would push back on them, and I would try to have a conversation. Like, for example, I mean, you know, you tell me Kamala Harris is now no longer in favor of banning fracking. Can we hear her explain her policy shift on this? Like, I'd like to hear it. When can the people of Pennsylvania hear that? But they don't want to have the conversation. Like, Jennifer Granholm was walking through here yesterday. She's the Secretary of Energy. She's the one who laughed the time that was asked about gas prices. Like, she's like, hoo-hoo, ha-ha, hoo-hoo, when they asked her how they can bring down gas prices. Granholm's not coming on this show because she knows I'm going to ask her about energy. Like, actually, like, what is the effect of all these mandates on pushing EVs, for example? And what's the effect on auto workers in your home state of Michigan, where you were governor? They don't want to have the conversation, so they're just avoiding it. So for anyone who's on Twitter bashing me that I'm afraid to hear from the other side, and there's a couple trolls who mentioned that I used to have Governor Ed Rendell on. I would have Governor Ed Rendell on today, right this minute. Unfortunately, his health is not great. The decision for Ed Rendell to no longer come on the show was not made by me or this radio station. It was made by his family. He is not in the best of health. I wish him well. I always enjoyed our chats. Always. Always enjoyed our chats. But remember something. Governor Ed Rendell came out against Larry Krasner. Hard. That was the last time he was on my show. Last time he was on was talking about why he was openly coming out against Larry Krasner in the Democrat primary for district attorney because crime in Philadelphia had gone through the charts. And that was the last time he came on the show. He and I agreed many times on things. We disagreed many times on things. We always had civil conversations. But for anyone who thinks that I'm afraid to have challengers on this show, not in the least. And in fact, to that end, you are welcome to call in today and challenge me. The number is 855-839-1210. Andrew's back there by himself. He's got to run the board. But to the best of his ability, he'll answer calls, and you know, you're welcome to challenge me. I have no problem with it. In fact, for me, it's good mental sparring. It's like Rocky fighting Spider Rico. I'm happy to do it. I'd like to do it, actually. I'd like to do more of it. I mean, the trolls call other shows because they're afraid to go and match my wit. But it's okay. I mean, if you're one of them, you're a seminar caller, you're more than happy to 855-839-1210. But identify yourself as such. And don't play games. Just be honest with Andrew and say, I'd like to challenge Rich, or I want to come out and challenge on Trump, or I want to defend the Democrat Party. Just let us just be honest and truthful versus coming on and doing lame satire or lame sarcasm, and you're not good at it, and it's not entertaining, and it's not funny. And then I have to go on there and be like the jerk and say, all right, why don't you just stop with the humor, leave that to the professionals, and just tell us why you're actually calling. All right? So that's just the only ground rule I have. And don't be boring. You know, don't be boring. Jimmy Fallon says it best when he says you can be a Republican, you can be a Democrat, just don't be a D. I'll say I don't mind if you're a D, just don't be B. Don't be boring. To me, that's worse than anything. You can be an absolute D on this show, just don't be a B. All right? By B is boring, just so you know. I have to always explain that for people. The other thing is that the Trump campaign very smartly has daily press conferences going on at Trump Tower, Chicago, at 10 a.m. our time here in Chicago. So 11 o'clock back home. And today was Byron Donalds. And I had the opportunity to sit down one-on-one with Congressman Donalds. And we're going to play that interview for you a little bit later in the show. But tomorrow he's going to have Congressman Mike Waltz get up there, Green Beret, combat vet. And today the theme was crime, although we also talked about the economy with Congressman Byron Donalds, because I don't know if you know this or not, but he's very, very astute on the economy. He's a finance guy. So I asked him a question about what the impact of price gauging policies would be. Price gauging, as Kamala Harris called it, and on food deserts in poor neighborhoods. So we'll play that for you. But tomorrow's Congressman, and I'll be there. We'll be there at that press conference tomorrow. And Thursday, it's Vivek Ramaswamy and some former ambassador. So the Trump campaign is here in Chicago to a degree. They are representing, which the Democrats, I don't know if they did that at the RNC, but either way, that's happening. So we'll share that with you a little bit later in the show. But I'm happy to be with you. Not happy to be in Chicago, but happy to be with you, regardless, nonetheless. Let's begin, shall we? Let's begin with a little bit of last night's weirdo-ness, and it was the cringe factor off the charts. I got to tell you, Kamala Harris is one of the cringiest human beings on the planet. The more she hides, the more that she just stays away, the better. The more she comes out and talks, she gives people the creepy EBGB, you know what I mean? Creepy EBGBs. That's what I get from her. I really do. I get that vibe. So she showed up last night at the convention. She came out on the stage, and she thanked President Biden. And then she disappeared. And then they let the convention run very, very late. And they brought the old codger out. At that point, it was like, what, 10:30, 10:45? Back home, I think, by the time he actually got on the stage. So he was angry to begin with. And I don't blame him. I mean, this entire process has been a giant shiv to a guy that we're supposed to believe he's one of the most consequential presidents of our lifetime. And we're supposed to believe that the kid from Scranton, and as I've always said, if you've driven through Scranton, you've spent as much time in Scranton as Joe Biden has. But the kid from Scranton I have a question. Since everybody like Jimmy Matthews on Twitter and Brian and the others keep pointing out whenever me or Dom or Nick or somebody or Dawn says President Trump and not former President Trump, there's a highway in Scranton which is named the President Joe Biden Highway. I presume in January, when Joe Biden is no longer president, or sooner, because I'm not ruling that out either, at that point, some highway crew will come by and slap a former sticker across it. You know, they do the diagonals when they've got the former exit, or they change the exit number, and they do like they slap it right over it. I presume they're going to do that. So it'll have a giant, you know, on an angle, former, and they'll slap that right on President Joe Biden Highway. Or at that point, will we not enforce that anymore? We'll kind of get over that, right? Well, at that point, we are not going to actually spend money to change the name of the highway to former President Joe Biden Highway, are we? I mean, are we going to do that? I just want to know the rules so that we're consistent. Here's creepy, cringy Kamala last night coming out and thanking President Biden. Let's start there. Andrew, cut number one, please.
And I want to kick us off by celebrating our incredible President Joe Biden, who will be speaking later tonight. Joe, thank you for your historic leadership, for your lifetime of service to our nation, and for all you will continue to do. We are forever grateful to you.
We're forever grateful. Now get the hell off the stage and go away and get far, far away, far, far away from here and don't come back. Oh, brutal, brutal. Just brutal. I mean, you can see through it, right? You can see through this a million miles away. And Biden wants us to believe he's not angry as he's up there yelling. He wants us to believe he's not angry. This is from the DNC convention last night. All this talk about how I'm angry at all those people who said I should step down. That's not true. That's not true, he says. All right. Do you believe him? I mean, do you believe that this is the case? Cut number two, please.
And all this talk about how I'm angry at all those people who said I should step down. That's not true.
We love Joe. Get off the stage. We love Joe. We just had a coup against you. We love you.
I love my country more, and we need to preserve our democracy.
How is this
democracy? In 2024, we need you to vote. We need you to keep the Senate. We need you to win back the House of Representatives. And above all, we need you to beat Donald Trump. hates America.
And elect Kamala and Tim. So let me ask you an honest question, because I'm confused here. Wouldn't it be Democratic at the Democratic National Convention for Biden to have said, hey, listen, I'm out of the race. I'm backing Kamala Harris, but you are free to choose whoever you like. We're going to have an open primary in Chicago since it's a democracy. I mean, again, I'm trying to understand this, because they keep screaming about democracy, yet there are not a single Democrat voter out there had a say in this. If you think this is about the Democrat grassroots, you're missing the big picture here. This is the party elite. Conventions are the party elite, the establishment. You've got the Obamas on stage tonight, the Clintons on the stage last night. This is the Democrat royalty, and they've decided for everyone. So, I mean, if you're going to talk about saving democracy, don't you begin by cleaning out your own house? Don't you begin with your own home before you start lecturing other people? So wouldn't you begin by coming out and saying, we have an open primary, we're going to open this up. Who's putting their names in nomination? And then we'll Wednesday we'll vote, and Thursday night we'll bring out the winner. That would be an open convention. That would be democracy. But instead, the power brokers and the elites decided on Kamala Harris for everybody. And if you think Joe Biden had a say in this matter, you're nuts. The report that came out about $27 million that guy has made from all the corrupt countries, Ukraine, Russia, China, Romania. Don't forget Romania. Maybe the lesser corrupt country, still a corrupt country. If you think that guy had a choice, he did not want to leave this race. He said 48 hours earlier would take an act of God for him to leave the race. Then he's out of the race. What changed? What changed is that the Chicago mob boss, Barack Obama, sent the ultimate hit. Get out of the race or we expose all your corruption. You're going to lose either way. But this way you might face up potential IRS consequences, potential legal consequences, and your legacy will be destroyed. You leave voluntarily, quote-unquote voluntarily, and we'll cheer you on, we'll salute you, we'll say you were the most consequential president everywhere, we love you, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't, you're out either way, and we're going to expose you as the corrupt SOB that you know that we know you are. So Biden didn't have a choice, and he has to play along because he needs her to win. Because if Trump wins, it's very possible that they will actually look into all of Joe Biden's corruption. You know, Trump probably learned that when he became president, he said, we're not going to go after Hillary Clinton. He said, it's over. We're just going to let it go. And then Joe Biden becomes president. What do? They go after Donald Trump. They weaponize the Department of Justice, and they go after Donald Trump. I had a laugh last night when they're chanting, lock him up. And they're warning at the very same time that they're chanting, lock him up, about a weaponized Department of Justice. Like, really? This is a Department of Justice that has now gone after the former president of the United States and the Republican nominee for president of the United States, and some would argue the front runner. Trump did not go after Hillary Clinton. He's made that point multiple times. The question is, does he turn around and say, if he gets in there, you know, we're actually going to go after Joe Biden this time. Like, enough with the nice guy stuff. We're going to go after Biden. We're going to expose the corruption for everybody. See, Joe Biden can't risk that. So as much as he would love to see Kamala lose, because there's that part of him that wants to kind of see that, you know, it's like the guy who, the ex-wife gets remarried. And, you know, the guy knows it's going to be a disaster, and he's kind of rooting for the second marriage to be a flaming disaster so that he can be like, I told you so. But it's sort of like that. Like Biden would love for her to lose so he can turn around and say, I see, and if I had stayed in, I would have beat him because I beat him the last time. Well, I mean, he thinks he did anyway. That's what he would say. But he can't risk it, because then if Trump gets in there, there's always a chance that the Department of Justice goes, oh, looky what we have here. Looky, $27 million this guy made off of Ukraine. I mean, the Republican report that showed all that shows the extent of his corruption. So he doesn't really want her to win because he wants to be able to tell everybody that he could have won. It's like the analogy would be, you know, if tomorrow I'm fired, or in the middle of this monologue, which could happen as well, I wouldn't want the next afternoon show to be that successful. Like, I wanted Kale to succeed because I helped, you know, I mean, I wasn't shoved out of mornings. I wanted to get the hell out of there as fast as I could. But if I was forced out of here, I would want the next afternoon show to be a flaming disaster. I would, because I would want to show everybody, see, had I'd stayed in, it would have been a success. That's the natural thing about it. That's just human nature. Everybody understands that. You know, if you're forced out of a job and you got to train your successor, you don't exactly do the best job training your successor, unless you have stock options, which I don't have, unless you had a financial stake in the success of the company, in which case then you want your successor to succeed, even if you're forced out, because your severance package depends upon it or whatever else it is. For Biden, this is a much bigger thing than just a severance package. This is keeping him and his son potentially out of prison, because even if he pardons Hunter, it doesn't mean the Department of Justice can't go after him, can't go after Hunter, unless they find other crimes after the pardon occurs that are not linked to whatever Joe Biden pardons him for. Remember, it's all in the structure of the pardon, but he doesn't want to risk that. I mean, Hunter's going to get a pardon. That's part of the deal. It has to happen. But the Hunter pardon, if Kamala Harris is president, means the Biden corruption all goes away. Trump gets in there, it's all bets are off. Here's Biden yelling last night, talking about selecting Kamala Harris as his VP. And he makes a joke. It's very, very funny. Ha, ha, ha. Cut three.
Selecting Kamala was the very first decision I made when I became our nominee. And it was the best decision I made my whole career.
Oh, you sound very sincere as you yell that. Best decision ever.
We've not only gotten to know each other, we've become close friends.
Oh, yeah.
She's tough. She's experienced. And she has enormous integrity. Enormous
and she's not in the room right now. She ran out.
Her story represents the best American story. And like many of our best presidents, she was also vice president. That's a joke.
Oh, it's a joke. Please clap. Please laugh. So she's such good friends, she wasn't even there when he was giving his speech. What wasn't even there when he was giving his speech last night. They're such great friends. And then the lies last night from Biden, repeating the Charlottesville lie about good people on both sides, which is a lie. Actually, even the suckers and losers story, which was a lie, talking about Trump telling people to inject bleach or drink bleach, which is a lie. All the other lies were repeated last night. Here's Joe Biden screaming about the suckers and losers story. This has been debunked so many times. Donald Trump never referred to them as suckers and losers, but it doesn't matter. He goes out there and, you know, he screams it. And if you scream it, I guess it makes it true. Take a listen.
From his own chief of staff, a four-star General John Kelly, that Trump, when in Europe, would not go to the grave sites in one of them in France. The brave service members who gave their lives to this country, he called them suckers and losers. Who in the hell does he think he is? Who does he think he is? There's no words for person. They're not the words of person.
This is when the drunk uncle at the rehearsal dinner, you go, okay, all right, sit down. You know, he's telling a story, and he's like, you know, I mean, yeah, and you know, it turns out, I mean, yeah, he actually got on with one of the bridesmaids last night. Then we have the bachelor party, and then he goes, it's not true. That's not true. You're marrying my little girl, and he got with one of her bridesmaids. Nope, that story's debunked. It's not true. How dare he do that? How dare they falls down drunk? You go, all right, that's not true. All right, I got to make sure I don't yell too much because the levels will. We're not back in the studio. We're not in Kansas anymore. We have to make sure the levels don't spike or the access will drop. Right, Matt DeSantis? That's
how
that works.
Just get thrown out.
How dare he go with one of the bridesmaids on the bachelor party weekend, and I'm about to marry my granddaughter in there. And then that didn't happen. It's not okay. Big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. We appreciate his amazing support. You can call him at 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 is the number. I believe, Matt DeSantis, we have a guest coming up, do we not?
We do.
Who do we have? We have John Yoo, the man himself. All right, before I go to John, you. We're going to talk about the legal issues surrounding the future President Donald Trump in just a moment with the esteemed John Yoo. Will they really sentence him? The sentencing is scheduled for early September, mid-September, 12th, I believe. Will they actually go through with it? What are the implications of that? But I want to tell you, you know, relationships matter in life, and relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. You hear me say it a lot. So that's why I want you to go see my great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. It's a guiding principle on how Judith and her team run their business. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Volvo buying experience, always doing what is right, and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deal possible. And the result is that so many of their customers, myself included, become customers for life. Cherry Hill Volvo. They have customers who've been with them for about 30 years or longer, actually longer. That's an incredible testament to the high level of service and value they provide. And it's possible to get the absolute best deal on a new Volvo while enjoying fantastic experience at Cherry Hill Volvo. They're offering a $15,000 discount on the lease of any in-stock 2024 XC90 Hybrid. Or qualified buyers can lease the incredible C40 for 36 months for less than $500 a month. Cherry Hill Volvo is the most accessible Volvo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, right across the bridge. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you. And remember, even though I'm here in Chicago, we still broadcast live at the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios. They are our studio sponsor, and you should go see them today and support them just like they support us. Because at Cherry Hill Volvo, relationships matter. Before I go to break, let me go to Rob in West Philly. He wanted to talk. He's a teacher. Are you a teacher, Rob, or are you talking about teachers?
No, Rich, I am a teacher. I'm like a unicorn in my school. I'm one of the few. I have to stay quiet as a conservative and a Republican. But today was our first day back, and we have a political officer in the school. So one of the first things that was told to us at the meeting was that we have to look out for the election because of the 2025 program. They had no information on it. They just have all these talking points of how bad Trump is. And just wanted to let you know, like, the teachers are getting brainwashed like crazy in the school, and they just all, like sheep, shake their heads and agree with information they know nothing about. And we hear this every day, and it's going to be a long 2 months for me because the teachers just express how terrible conservatives are, yet they don't understand why the economy is the way it is. And when I do try to ask them from an outsider's view, they just come back with the same talking points as far as, well, Trump's mean, he's not good for this country. And so that's what conservative teachers have to face. They have to stay quiet because if I say anything, sure, I would absolutely get blackballed in the school. It's amazing to see firsthand because I can't even give an opinion because I hear how these teachers respond to things they hear, just say on the news, you know. And
yeah, you just got to keep your head down, right, brother? Hey, Rob, I got to run because we got Professor John Yu joining us. But listen, I appreciate it. Hang in there, and I hope you have a good school year, the best you can have in the current circumstances.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, it's a shame that a guy like that has to go through that. Good man right there. All right, quick break. Coming right back with Professor John Yu. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I am here, and thank you for being here as well, listening to the show, 855-839-1210, and on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Very excited to welcome back to the show. He is the Emmanuel S. Heller Chair in Law and Distinguished Professor of Law at the University of California, Berkeley. Distinguished Visiting Professor, School of Civic Leadership, University of Texas at Austin. He's an author. He's a constitutional scholar. He's advised presidents. But I don't care about any of that, because all I want to know from John Yu is what kind of cheese do you put on a cheesesteak?
So the answer is you don't put the real cheese on. You put cheese whiz. Everybody knows
no,
that.
No, you don't. You see, now wrong. You put provolone on a cheesesteak.
No.
Cheese whiz is for tourists. How can you call yourself a Philly guy?
Provolone's too expensive.
That's okay. That's true. All right. You got
me
there.
Can you buy tubs of provolone at Costco? No, you can't.
Fair. That's a good point. You got me there. All right. This is why you are, you know, who you are, and much smarter than I am when it comes to these things. But no, I mean, when J.D. Vance went to Pat's yesterday, and he made a joke, which is pretty funny, about why don't you put Swiss cheese on a cheesesteak? And, of course, the Philadelphia media thought he was saying he wants to put Swiss cheese on a cheesesteak. Even Congressman Brendan Boyle tweeted something out like that's a sin without realizing that J.D. Vance was making a joke about John Kerry literally putting Swiss cheese on a cheesesteak.
Yeah, that was when John Kerry was also pointing his shotgun up in the air while he was walking around so he could hit people.
How you doing, my friend? It's been a while. I appreciate you coming on today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm always happy to join you. And I feel better, even though I'm in crazy California. You've got it worse. You're at the DNC.
I know, man. I got my flak jacket on. I'm trying to maintain a low profile, but I'm so loud when I do the show that the looks that I'm getting from people as I'm yelling about Biden being crazy and demented and how they shoved him off the stage like he was a dead body, it's not going well. I'm just saying.
You know, I mean, it's Chicago. How do they pick you out of the crowd of crazy people running around the street attacking people randomly?
That's why my mother is very nervous. But that's a good point you just made. I'm just one of many for them to go after. They don't need to go after me, right? They've got their targets. So, but they are going after former President Trump legally, and I'm worried because the sentencing date is coming up. And a guy I know you respect greatly, former federal prosecutor, our buddy Andy McCarthy, thinks they are going to sentence Trump to prison or at least, you know, jail. And I'm just curious to get your thoughts on what you think is going to happen.
Yeah, I never disagree with Andy McCarthy. I mean, he worked in those courthouses as a prosecutor. You know, I hope never to have to step foot in any of those courthouses. Believe me, bent down in New York City. And, like, he's right in that. You look at what this judge does, Judge Merchan in New York. He has ruled against Trump every chance he has, and I think he has entertained and approved outrageous theories of law in order to get Trump convicted. And so I don't see why he wouldn't convict Trump to jail. Now, this is his first offense. He's nonviolent. It's a nonviolent crime. It's a, you know, it's bookkeeping. Normally, you would not go to jail. You would not sentence someone like that to jail. But this judge has the discretion to do it if he wants to. And so I think he will. I agree with Andy on that. Now, the crazier thing to talk about is, would Judge Merchan make him start serving the sentence immediately? He has the power to do that. Again, most judges would say, while your case is on appeal, while we're trying to figure this immunity stuff out, we'll suspend the sentence. But this judge, I don't know. He has had it out for Trump from the beginning. You could look at the crazy way he's allowed federal crimes to be brought into state court. You could look at how he allowed Stormy Daniels to testify in this incendiary, prejudicial way. I wouldn't put anything by this guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. What I wonder about is, how do you incarcerate a former president of the United States of America who was also the Republican nominee for president? If they were to actually do that, how does that logistically even work? Because and then there's the question of the political ramifications of that. Does that help? Does that hurt? Does that make Trump more sympathetic? I mean, those are all political questions we don't have answers to. I have theories, obviously. But just from a logistical point of view, I mean, do you send them to Rikers?
I assume you would. You would send him to normal. The thing is, though, the Secret Service is still tasked with keeping him safe. So would they go with him? Would he get some kind of special cell in the prison where the Secret Service is also there? I mean, he actually might be safer at Rikers than he is under the protection of the Secret Service in Pennsylvania these days.
I know. I mean, it's a terrible. I hate to laugh at that, but it's true. He might actually, because the odds of him getting shivved at Rikers are lower than the Secret Service. You know, a woman having to go breastfeed and leave her post. So there's that reality of it. I think it would make him sympathetic if they locked him up. I don't think they want to do that. I think that would be a huge political mistake on their part.
I agree. But then look at the whole thing was a big mistake. It's totally backfired on them. If you want to talk about the Biden administration or these prosecutors in New York in Georgia. They wanted to use prosecution to knock Trump out of the race. And in fact, it boomeranged on them and made Trump more popular. And it guaranteed him the primary, winning the primary, yeah. I think. And so they might double down. And I'll point out one other thing about this double down idea. You know, you could have said, okay, after they lost this string of cases of the Supreme Court says there's a big immunity for presidents. A lower court judge just held the special counsel unconstitutional. The Biden administration and Kamala Harris could have stepped back and said, this has been a mistake. We're going to drop the charges and let people decide in November what they think of Donald Trump. Instead, Kamala Harris's first campaign speech when she became the nominee was, I know felons like Donald Trump. I'm a former prosecutor. I'm going to go after him. So instead of being, you know, learning their lesson, they doubled down on this whole idea of prosecuting Trump.
All right, so two thoughts on that then, Professor John Yoo. The first one, I guess, is given the Supreme Court's ruling on this, does Trump have any recourse if he is sentenced to do an immediate, I don't know, appeal to the Supreme Court to say, hey, you got to push this till after the election. I'm the candidate here. And number two, do you agree with their reasoning that they came up with for the presidential immunity? And who do you think is the first person he's going to kill if he's president? Because I see him going on an axe killing spree or maybe just become Dexter. I'm not quite sure.
Well, he ought to kill Nick Sirianni if they don't win the Super Bowl this year. I'll tell you that much. Yeah, I think there will be no prosecutions of him in the city of Philadelphia for that.
No, definitely, or in South Jersey, definitely not. Very
yeah.
true.
But this is I would say it this way. So, in the Supreme Court's immunity decision, there's a paragraph that's specifically about this New York case, and it says you're not allowed to prosecute a former president, even for things he did before or outside he was his presidency, with evidence of what he did as president. It's kind of common. So the short of it is that in the trial, Judge Merchan allowed testimony from former White House aides like Hope Hicks about things that Trump was saying and doing in the Oval Office. Supreme Court says that cannot be used by states like New York or Georgia. So the trial is obviously flawed, and a normal judge would order a mistrial, have the whole thing done again. This Judge Merchan won't do that. And so you're right. If he gets sentenced, Trump gets sentenced, he should go to the Supreme Court immediately and say, these New York judges are defying your clear orders in the immunity case, and try to get the whole thing reversed. That's what I would do if I were his lawyers.
Yeah, because he's not president yet, so he can't send SEAL Team 6 to kill the judge, like Justice Sotomayor fantasized about in her dissent. I mean, her dissent was like a Stephen King novel. You know, the president is just killing people left and right.
Yeah, ridiculous. And obviously the president wouldn't have any... I mean, the whole thing is about, does the president... President gets immunity for things that are official presidential actions, and killing people randomly or who are political enemies, that's just not in the president's power. She's been watching too many. She's still trying to catch up on all the episodes of 24 from 15 years ago or something.
I forget who it was. I think it was, it might have been Kinzinger or Raskin, one of them, one of the crazies from who hate Trump. I think it was Raskin, who suggested that a president could kill senators who would have to vote on his impeachment. So, John, what do you think about this idea? My idea is this. I'm president. My very first State of the Union address, I kill my own vice president and the speaker so they can't have any votes on my impeachment ever.
I know that. It's such a crazy theory. It shows you how deranged Trump
right?
makes people, that they come up with theories like this, like ideas like this.
It's so shameful, and also,
look, no federal officer would obey orders like that. You know, the military, law enforcement, you know, our intelligence agents, they can only obey lawful orders. And the president using them as his sort of personal, very political assault team, that just, you know, they would refuse, and they ought to.
His personal hit squad or button pushers, like it's the mafia, you know. Talk to me about the 60-day rule at the Justice Department, because obviously on the federal side of things, Jack Smith still thinks he's a special prosecutor, despite Judge Eileen Cannon's ruling, which I thought was a spot-on ruling. So he's still trying. What about this rule that you don't go after somebody within 60 days of an election, John Yoo?
Actually, it's more than 60 days. I think it's 180 days. I think it's 6 months. And they already broke that long ago.
But it shows you again how this administration and the Democrats have tossed aside all of the traditional rules we've had for prosecution at the Justice Department in order to get Donald Trump. So here's another example. You're never supposed to talk about the case in public other than what's in the indictment. Nevertheless, you've got Biden out there calling Trump an insurrectionist. You've got Kamala Harris out there calling Trump a felon. You aren't supposed to do that as a federal prosecutor. Those two people are in charge of the Justice Department, and they're out, right? They're out casting aspersions on Trump's reputation and his name way beyond anything that's been charged. The special counsel hasn't even charged Trump with insurrection or sedition because I guess he thinks he can't prove it. But, you know, you've got people in charge of the executive branch out there dragging Trump's name through the mud while they're prosecuting him. You would be fired as a Justice Department prosecutor if you did that.
And he certainly should be, because his authority is unconstitutional. I mean, that's what the Judge Cannon's whole point was, right? I mean, he's not been Senate confirmed, unlike David Weiss, who was confirmed as a U.S. attorney. So since he's not faced Senate confirmation, he's not a special prosecutor. And there's no statute that corresponds with his role, right?
Yeah, in fact, that holding, what it shows is that everything, it just shows how the Biden administration was trying to pretend that this was actually a neutral and run-of-the-mill prosecution done in all the normal ways, but in reality it was utterly political because they pretended that this guy Jack Smith was some kind of expert prosecutor. But what the whole thing revealed was that actually he works for Biden and Merrick Garland, the attorney general, and Kamala Harris, the vice president, that they're really in charge. It's really a political prosecution. And so what the judge there is saying is, if you're really going to make him independent, then that's unconstitutional. And if he's not independent, then what he is he really works for the president and the attorney general. You got to admit it.
Yeah. Hey, always a pleasure to have you. Philadelphia's own John Yoo, professor and constitutional scholar and cheese whiz connoisseur.
You know, it's only, if you and I moved to Chicago, which I never would want, we would put Cheese Whiz in their deep dish pizza and make $1 billion.
Oh, God. Just the idea of that just made me nauseous. I'm literally not. Well, I said the other day, this is the only place in America where a casserole can identify as a pizza, because it's not pizza, let's be honest.
No, it's not. It's a cheese pie.
Thank you, my friend. Always appreciate it. Really great to have you back on the show.
Thanks a lot. Good to be with you, Rich.
All right, as we continue along here live at the Democrat National Convention in Chicago, we got a lot more to come. We're actually going to talk to Trump's attorney, Alina Haba, a little bit later in the show today, so I'm excited for that. Congressman Byron Donald stopping by. We're loaded up, and if you hear a lot of background noise, it's because people are being very rude and talking right in front of my radio broadcast. This did not happen at the RNC, but we're around Democrats, so I don't know what else I can say. I guess they just don't have any manners. Mama Zioli should come here and lecture them. Be quiet, baby. Be quiet. My baby's talking. Be quiet. My baby's talking. He's trying to do a show, and you're being very rude. All right, we'll be right back. Live from Chicago.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On Twitter, at Rich Zioli. By the way, you know that story that I heard about the Cape May Bridge, which I'm sure we've talked about. I'm sure the other local shows on our station have covered it. But just in case you're wondering, that a motor failure has forced them to close the Middle Thoroughfare Bridge, which is also known by the locals, and for those of us that go to Cape May or Wildwood, as a two-mile bridge. So it's going to be closed for a little while. But don't let that affect the visit to Cape May, because you can still get to Cape May for the Grand Hotel. We're going to be there live on Friday, September 6th for our next live show. All right? So, make sure it won't affect you coming to Cape May. So make sure you're there for that on Friday, September 6th. January 6th. Well, you see there's bumper stickers here and pins. They're wearing pins. Remember January 6th. The high holy day of the left, of course. But September 6th will be our wonderful happy day at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. So make sure you join us for that. David Axelrod admits that if the election were held today, Trump would win. That's right. If the election were held today, Donald Trump would win the presidency. The Axe, who was one of the people who forced Joe Biden out of the race. If you remember, my prediction that Joe Biden would not be the candidate goes back as far as October of 2023. That's when David Axelrod came back from the big Obama reunion in Chicago and went on a tweet storm. Actually, while he was still there, went on a tweet storm about how Joe Biden can't win and should be replaced. And that's when I said it's over for him. It's only a matter of time. And sure enough, my prediction held, and he's out. Well, Axelrod is very good at making predictions, and he's predicting that if the election were held today, Trump would win the race. And I think Axelrod, deep down inside, is very nervous that Kamala Harris can't do this. I think he was hoping that Michelle Obama would step up. I'm not saying she could win either, but I think that maybe she'd have a better shot from his perspective. Anyway, here's Axelrod on CNN. This is an awkward moment for them. Cut 25. Oh, there's no audio. Okay, we'll get the audio for that in the 4 o'clock hour. No problem. We'll do that, and we'll come back with that. We'll start the 4 o'clock hour with that because that's a pretty eye-opening moment. And you look at the polls, and this is why we had a pollster on yesterday. The polling data that's coming out, the momentum for Kamala Harris, those are all the national polls, registered voters. That momentum does not exist in the swing state polls that you're seeing because the momentum is fake. It's a fugazi. The swing state polls, which are the polls that matter, those polls are still showing that Trump has an advantage, except in Wisconsin, which is going to go to the Democrats and always was, with or without Tim Walz on the ticket. Trump doesn't need Wisconsin to win. I still think he wins Pennsylvania, but we'll talk about all that straight ahead. Our 4 o'clock hour live from the DNC coming up. Your 4 o'clock hour, my 3 o'clock hour. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. By the way, you know that story that I heard about the Cape May Bridge, which I'm sure we've talked about. I'm sure the other local shows on our station have covered it. But just in case you're wondering that a motor failure has forced them to close the Middle Thoroughfare Bridge, which is also known by the locals. And for those of us that go to Cape May or Wildwood, as a two-mile bridge. So it's going to be closed for a little while. But don't let that affect the visit to Cape May, because you can still get to Cape May for the Grand Hotel. We're going to be there live on Friday, September 6th, for our next live show. All right? So, you know, make sure it won't affect you coming to Cape May. So make sure you're there for that. On Friday, September 6th. January 6th! Well, you see there's bumper stickers here and pins. They're wearing pins. Remember January 6th, the high holy day of the left, of course. But September 6th will be our wonderful happy day at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, so make sure you join us for that. David Axelrod admits that if the election were held today, Trump would win. That's right. If the election were held today, Donald Trump would win the presidency. The Axe, who was one of the people who forced Joe Biden out of the race. If you remember, my prediction that Joe Biden would not be the candidate goes back as far as October of 2023. That's when David Axelrod came back from the big Obama reunion in Chicago and went on a tweet storm. Actually, while he was still there, went on a tweet storm about how Joe Biden can't win and should be replaced. And that's when I said it's over for him. It's only a matter of time. And sure enough, my prediction held and he's out. Well, Axelrod is very good at making predictions. And he's predicting that if the election were held today, Trump would win the race. And I think Axelrod, deep down inside, is very nervous that Kamala Harris can't do this. I think he was hoping that Michelle Obama would step up. I'm not saying she could win either, but I think that maybe she'd have a better shot from his perspective. Anyway, here's Axelrod on CNN. This is an awkward moment for them. Cut 25. There's no audio. Okay, we'll get the audio for that in the 4 o'clock hour. No problem. We'll do that, and we'll come back with that. We'll start the 4 o'clock hour with that because that's a pretty eye-opening moment. And you look at the polls, and this is why we had a pollster on yesterday. The polling data that's coming out, the momentum for Kamala Harris, those are all the national polls, registered voters. That momentum does not exist in the swing state polls that you're seeing because the momentum is fake. It's a fugazi. The swing state polls, which are the polls that matter. Those polls are still showing that Trump has an advantage, except in Wisconsin, which is going to go to the Democrats and always was, with or without Tim Walz on the ticket. Trump doesn't need Wisconsin to win. I still think he wins Pennsylvania, but we'll talk about all that straight ahead. Our 4 o'clock hour live from the DNC coming up. Your 4 o'clock hour, my 3 o'clock hour. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.